Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
See, the most important healing is spiritual in our life. You can see most physical illnesses, sicknesses, but many are blinded to the sickness called sin. They don't see it. They don't see it in themselves. They can see it in others pretty well. Some are really good at seeing it in others. They just have a nose for it, but they don't see it in themselves. And that's what makes the cross so offensive to so many. Because the cross isn't for the other person. It's for you. You have to look to the cross. It means you sinned, you put him up there.
Sin is a pervasive, deep, terminal problem. In fact, it's the biggest problem facing humanity. You are deserving of hell because of your sin. You may deny sin, blame others for it, get used to it, or be plagued with guilt. Yet there is hope. Jesus. He lived the life you couldn't and died the death you should have, all to save you for eternity and for a rich and beautiful life right now. Today, Pastor Troy will encourage you that it's God's desire to save you and spiritually heal you, but you must be willing to accept Jesus and the cross on which he died, accepting that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Hebrews chapter 10 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Jesus taught us submission to the Father. He was submitted. That was his role here. The three are one, they're all equal. But Jesus, the man, served in a submitted role. And he gave us an example. Jesus placed the work of God above everything else. I mean everything else. He placed it above family, food, fun, sleep. Jesus missed meals and sleep in order to pray or do the Father's business. Meals and sleep. I know some who think that that's not God's will. When I miss a meal, I'm angry. And I'm going to let you know about it. God would never have us miss a meal. I'm sorry, there are many out there who miss all kinds of meals in the name of the Lord. So we have misplaced priorities. And you don't read about Jesus ever missing something that God wanted him to do because of soccer practice. You never see the Lord going, Peter's mom needs to be healed. You know what? Let me just give her a temporary thing. I'll just do it from a distance. I got soccer practice. So I'm just going to go with the other guys. Me and the disciples were taking on the Pharisees. And, you know, we got to show them that God is with us. That never happened. He didn't pursue those things. He was not too busy with those things. In fact, there was a time when his own family came, his mom. And they came and they said, hey, your mom wants you. And Jesus didn't go, let me teach you the priorities here. All right, I'm going to go see my mom real quick. Then he taught us a different set of priorities. He said, who are my mother, my brothers, who are my sisters, my family? Those who do the will of my Father. That's what I'm here for. They're the priority. I don't have time for the things of the world and the system that the world operates by. I am about my Father's business. Now, he didn't disrespect his mom. But he had given a right sense of priorities. Jesus showed respect. He submitted even to his own parents unless there was a conflict with the will of God. At 12 years old, they had gone on a trip. They were in Jerusalem and they had to travel back. And it took them a whole day before they realized Jesus wasn't with them. And they had to travel back. And they said, where are you at? And that's when he told them, don't you know I got to be about my Father's business? I'm teaching the Bible here, answering questions. And it says everyone was amazed at his understanding. I think it was amazing that Jesus came because it was the first time men could actually debate God. We lost to a 12-year-old. But God came. We were able to behold his glory, to look upon him, to get to know him. That's what he always wanted, for us to be able to get to know him. Jesus taught us that knowing, serving, and relating to God is the single most important thing in life. Why? Because it impacts our eternity. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Because it was about this idea of a relationship. I never knew you. It's not that he's God. He knows everyone. He knows about everyone. He's saying, we never had a relationship. You never followed me. You never called upon me as Lord. You never submitted yourself to me. You never wanted to have anything to do with me. You lived independent of me. And so, even though you did religious works, that's what he says. Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? We could say, Lord, didn't I go to a good Bible teaching church? Lord, didn't I sit in the same place? Wasn't I always there? Didn't I even do some serving? He says, you did a lot of stuff. But we never had a relationship. You did what you thought to be right. You also, in fact, did a lot of what you wanted to do. You thought it was a stepping stone. You thought it would be good for you or your glory. In fact, I told you several times, go spend time with your wife, but you'd rather serve the Lord. You didn't submit yourself to me. And I never knew you. I often wonder how many look good in the church, but won't be going to heaven. Thank God it's not for me to try to figure out. So Jesus had to be a man to represent men and to be a model for men. The quote is from Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8, speaking of his incarnation, saying when he came into the world. He says in verse 7, in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. Referring to the fact that all of those rituals, all that was written in the law, all pointed to something he would fulfill. Jesus fulfilled the law. He even said it. I didn't come to destroy it. I came to fulfill it. No one else could, but I'm going to do it. So Jesus's work can heal. It does save. Jesus is the tabernacle where all good things happen. Jesus is the high priest who represents on behalf of the people. Jesus is the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the world. Jesus is the mercy seat with blood splattered, the one that God looks upon and sees instead of us and the law that we broke. Twice the author mentions that God had no pleasure in Old Testament sacrifices. He had no pleasure in them, but he established them, but he didn't have pleasure in them. What did he want? See, it doesn't mean that they were wrong. God established it. They were right in doing it. They should have done that. It means I trust you, I believe you, and so I'm going to do these things. To do any different would be to deny him. And totally wrong. And it didn't mean that God didn't have any pleasure in those who, with the right heart, showed up and offered them. It doesn't mean that they weren't blessed as a result of their obedience. What it means is God wasn't into those things. They were just a vessel. He was into the obedient heart of the worshipers. What kind of heart are you bringing that offering with? He wanted their heart. In fact, the Lord told Israel one time, hey, these sacrifices, these feasts, I hate them. Because your heart's not in them. There's so many things that we can do that our heart is not really engaged in. We can worship the Lord without our heart engaged and look good, sound good. Can lift our hands and enjoy the song. They do it out in the world all the time. They'll go to old concerts or new concerts, and they will cry and lift their hands and light the lights and do all the stuff because there's this emotional experience that has nothing to do with God. It's a feeling. It can happen in church too. The difference is seen in what happens after that. It's like, man, we need to go to another concert. Or in the church, maybe it's, God's not with me anymore. I need another worship experience. We can do a lot of things, and we substitute feeling for the reality. But God doesn't want us to live that way. He wants us to live with the knowledge that He is, that He loves us, and that we're to follow Him, and that we find that sense of acceptance and being in His presence through obedience, not through feelings or experience. Obedience is the way. Jesus came to do the Father's will. That's what He said. Not just with action, though, but with His whole heart. We do it with action sometimes, but our heart isn't all in it. But Jesus, to be perfect, He had to do it not just with His whole body, but with His whole heart. In John chapter 6, verse 38, we read, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." Perfect submission. That's what qualified Jesus from an earthly perspective to fulfill the law. Perfect. Not just on the outside, but even on the inside. To pay the price the law demanded and establish the new covenant in His blood. I know there was that time where He was praying, "Lord, if there's any other way," but that wasn't saying, "Lord, I don't want to do Your will." You're saying, "I want to do Your will. If there's another way, this is going to be so hard. I feel it already. If there's any other way, let's do it that way." But there wasn't. And He never thought about not doing it. But it just goes to show you His humanity. Perfect submission so that He could establish the covenant, the new covenant, in His blood. Through His death and resurrection, Jesus fulfilled the first and set in motion the second covenant in His blood. Thus, the call of the author who's writing to the Hebrews, remain with Christ, the perfect sacrifice, and do not return to those inferior sacrifices. Don't do it.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, so stay with us. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will also find an archive of previous messages from verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter, and book-by-book studies through the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock. We pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
It was God's will that they take part in those sacrifices in the past. That was how they walked by faith. That was how they were cleansed, made clean to be even in His proximity. But in the new covenant, His will was that they trust in the finished work of Christ. That's His will today. Trusting in Christ. And it says in verse 10, "By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." So now we'll just talk for a moment about God's will to heal. God's will in the first covenant, if we back up just a little bit, was basically this. He wanted Israel set apart, a light to the nations. I want people to see that I am. I want people to see what I do through you guys. I want you to follow these laws so that people can see. His will was also that Israel obey the commands, because it was through the obedience of those commands that they were blessed. And God wanted them to show what it looks like to live a blessed life before God. That would create a thirst for others. How does this happen? Why are you so blessed? Why are you always getting the rain in its season? They could have said, well, we trust the Lord. and they failed. His will for them was that they love God and worship Him only. Now, as I speak about God's will for Israel back then through the laws, you can see that it's the same today. Just a different focus for us. We're not focused on laws now, but we're focused on following Christ. But He wants the same results. He wants us set apart, a light to the lost, those in darkness. He wants us to obey His commands so that people can see in us what a blessed life looks like. And trust me, some of the definition that we have today for blessing isn't blessing. Oh, riches. Oh, I'll be rich and never sick. That's not what we're talking about. I know some really wealthy people that are hardly ever sick that are miserable. They're not fulfilled. They're not complete. What He's saying is that you'll be blessed because you'll have everything that you need to complete you. And even if you don't have a lot of money, a lot of things, you won't need them. And you'll feel complete and they'll go, "What is wrong with you? I have more than you. You don't have as much as me, and yet you're complete. You're fulfilled." So His will is the same today. He wants obedience from our heart, that comes from our heart, because we trust Him. That's it. Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll obey my commands." Don't just say, "I love you." Don't just get mushy and cry and sing a song to me. Obey my commands. Love me in action. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, the author reminded them what God said to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31:33, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." This is an introduction to the idea that we're going to stop with rituals and we're going to start with a relationship. I'm going to talk to you straight to your heart. Me and you personally. Not outside His revealed word, but He was going to give us one who would take up residence in our life, the Holy Spirit, who would convict us, guide us, counsel us. Sin separates us from God. It keeps us from hearing Him clearly. Sin does that to God's voice in our life. It calluses us, puts a filter over our ears. I only want to hear it my way. I want to hear it what I want to hear, Lord. So we're seeking Him, "Lord, give me direction." And He's been giving direction, but because it doesn't fit in with what you're trying to hear, you don't hear it. We have the ability to do that. If you have kids at all, you know about that ability. "Mom, mom, 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 mom." "What? Someone call me?" "I've been calling you for 15 minutes. You tune it out. Well, God's voice, He says the same thing because you still haven't done it. But we tone it out. And then we seek the Lord. "Lord, give me direction." He's like, have I not been talking? I'm talking to you. You can't hear me. "Well, I don't want to know about that. I want to know about this." It's like we want to hear things our way. Sin separates us from God and we're sick with sin. But it's God's will to heal that sickness so that we hear again. So that there's life being lived out in us and through us for others. And you know, God's focus isn't so much physical healing as much as it is spiritual healing. We get that from the idea there was a man who couldn't come on his own, but four men brought him. He was a lame man, and they brought him to Jesus, and they set him before Jesus. He lay there. He wanted healing, physical healing, right? That's what the friends came for, physical healing. But what did Jesus say? "You're healed." No, He didn't do that. Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." Now, from Jesus' perspective, man, that's the great news. But everyone else, well, probably the friends were like, "What? That's it?" The Pharisees were like, "Oh, bless." They didn't even say it out loud. Maybe He could see it in their faces, but certainly he knew their thoughts. But they thought, "That's blasphemy. Only God can do something like that." But that was the whole point. I am God. I am able to forgive sins, and this is the greatest need. So to show that He was able to meet the greatest need, He said, let me show you something just so you know I have the authority to forgive sins. He said, which is easier to do? Say your sins are forgiven you or tell this man to rise and walk? Well, obviously it's easier to just say your sins are forgiven you. I could walk around right now and go to each one of you. Sins are forgiven you. Your sins are forgiven you. Your sins, yeah, they're forgiven you. And I could walk around and make everyone feel really good, you know, like, yeah, my sins are forgiven me. But how do you know that's true? If you're not in your heart, I could go around making you feel great. So Jesus understood that. But he said, so that you know what I said is, and has actually, that transaction has taken place, watch this. Let me do the harder thing. Rise up, take your mat and walk. And it happened. Not after a few tries. Not after the friends coordinated with one another and picked him up. This was a man that everybody knew. Not some guy that you brought in from the outside. No one knew. Then they didn't even know if he was ever lame. Everyone knew this man. And he rose. But the point wasn't the physical healing. That wasn't the priority for Jesus. It showed that he could give the real, real healing that we need. You see, the most important healing is spiritual in our life. You can see most physical illnesses, sicknesses, but many are blinded to the sickness called sin. They don't see it. They don't see it in themselves. They can see it in others pretty well. Some are really good at seeing it in others. And they just have a nose for it, but they don't see it in themselves. And that's what makes the cross so offensive to so many. Because the cross isn't for the other person. It's for you. You have to look to the cross. It means you sinned, you put him up there. Jesus said in John 3, 14 and 15, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Of course, the next verse that we read is that famous, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But why this reference from Numbers, an incident in Israel's history, why a serpent? Why lift up a serpent? Well, because that's what was destroying them, a serpent. They were grumbling and complaining about God and about everything, and so he sent serpents that bit them and destroyed them, killed them. And so a serpent was taken and placed upon that cross. And he says, look to it, look to it, look at it. If you look at it, you'll be healed. See, that was what was destroying them, and they had to face it by faith. What did Jesus become for us? Sin, like the serpent. He was nailed to the cross. And so that means when we look to the cross, we don't just see Jesus. Oh, man, if somebody really did that for me, oh, I'm going to follow that man. That's an emotional connection, but not repentance. Instead, what the cross shows us is sin. You look to it and you realize, I did that. That's sin. That's destroying me. And every man must face that truth for themselves. The good news is God's not willing that any should perish as a result of this, the sin disease. So he says, come to me, confess your sin. I will cleanse you. I will restore you. I will make you whole. Because see, it's God's will to heal. That's what he wants to do.
Faith is something that sounds easier than it realistically is. As we've continued to study through the book of Hebrews, though, we hope you've noticed just how often faith is referred to. Many people have held on to their faith despite trials and despite personal mistakes. This wasn't easy, but we have their lives, the Word of God, and the support of the body of Christ to help us thrive. Here at Building on the Solid Rock, we realize how hard this journey of faith is for everyone. We want you to know that we pray for you often. If you ever have a specific prayer request, please email us at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can find out more about this ministry as well as listen to other messages from Pastor Troy by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast while you're there to never miss a new edition of this program.
That site again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. Thanks for tuning in today. Pastor Troy will continue walking with us through Hebrews next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.